1-800-259-9639.
You're listening to WBAI New York. The time now is 6 o'clock.
Good evening. Good evening. Julian Assange is arrested in London and charged with computer fraud. What does it mean for journalists around the world? With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the news for Thursday, April 11th, 2019. First, headlines with Linda Perry.
The big news of the day is that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was hauled from the embassy in Ecuador today and arrested by British police. The U.S. charged Assange with conspiring with Chelsea Manning to obtain government secrets. The former Ecuadorian president, Rafael Correa, criticized what he considered a double standard by Western media and governments, who he said have been quick to condemn Assange for publishing sensitive information about U.S. national security interests. Correa, who granted asylum to Assange in 2012 in an interview with the AP, was harshly critical of his successor's decision to expel Assange. From Brussels, he said, although Julian Assange denounced war crimes, he's only the person supplying the information. It's the New York Times, The Guardian, and El País publishing it. Why aren't those journalists and media owners thrown in jail? It's because they're attacking the weakest link, he said. We'll have more on the arrest of WikiLeaks founder after headlines. Russian Ambassador Dmitry Polyansky called out efforts to revoke the credentials of Venezuela's representative to the UN, Samuel Moncada, and to recognize interim president Juan Guaido.
This is such an outrageous attempt to impose on an independent country a will of another country, and attempt to mobilize regional and other support for these actions, that it's very difficult to cite any example in history of such a blunt attempt of coup d'etat that is happening right now.
Polyansky said Samuel Moncada is the legal representative of Venezuela and that he has all the credentials. He was appointed according to the practice that is common in the UN, and there's absolutely no reason to claim he's not a legal representative of his country and his government. The Russian diplomat said that those who want to help Venezuela have all the occasion to do so.
It's not that Venezuela is creating obstacle in this regard. No. The kind is that the United States do not want to help this country in this way. They want to make a problem out of this. They want to kind of show that the current government is absolutely incapable of dealing with this aid, that allegedly this government would steal the whole aid and will not give it to the people. That's the picture that they want to create in public opinion, which is totally false picture.
On Wednesday, Mike Pence told the Security Council that the Trump administration is determined to remove President Nicolas Maduro from power in Venezuela, preferably through diplomatic and economic pressure, but he said all options are on the table. And Venezuelan Ambassador Samuel Moncada then said his country is threatened with war by the Trump administration and the ground is being laid for an invasion. He told the council, "We must stop this war of Donald Trump." Donald Trump seemed gratified on Thursday that his attorney general has endorsed a key talking point of the president's supporters, that there was spying on Trump's 2016 campaign. But Trump went a step beyond Attorney General Bill Barr, accusing the government of committing an illegal, unprecedented act. Trump's comments came a day after Barr testified at a congressional hearing that he believes spying did occur on Trump's 2016 campaign, suggesting the origins of the Russia investigation that shadowed Trump's presidency for nearly 2 years may have been mishandled. Conservatives have accused the FBI of improperly investigating whether Trump's campaign had inappropriate contacts with Russia. Meanwhile, Senator Chuck Schumer of New York says Barr was purposely using phrasing employed by conspiracy theorists and the president's allies on Fox News. He said he and other Democrats have little faith in Barr, that he would be fair and dispassionate in deciding which material to withhold when he releases a report by special counsel Robert Mueller. And in local news, Governor Andrew Cuomo says the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has failed to hold General Electric accountable for cleaning up the Hudson. The EPA today declined to compel Boston-based GE to restart dredging in the Hudson River. Cuomo and Attorney General Tish James say New York State intends to sue the EPA over its decision. They claim levels of the contaminant, PCB, remain unacceptably high in the riverbed and in fish. Back over to you, Paul.
Thanks, Linda. United States President Donald Trump is claiming to know nothing about WikiLeaks, despite past praise for the anti-secrecy organization.
Do you still love WikiLeaks?
I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing. And I know there is something having to do with Julian Assange. I've been seeing what's happened with Assange, and that will be a determination, I would imagine, mostly by the Attorney General, who's doing an excellent job. So he'll be making a determination. I know nothing really about him. It's not my deal in life.
What would you like to see happen? What punishment?
I don't really have any opinion. I know the Attorney General will be involved in that, and he'll make a decision. Okay.
Trump praised WikiLeaks more than 100 times during the stretch run of the 2016 presidential campaign.
This just came out. This just came out. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks. And I said, write a couple of them down. Let's see. During a speech, crooked Hillary Clinton. Oh, she's crooked, folks. She's crooked as a $3 bill. Okay, here's one. Just came out. Lock her up is right. No.
That fall, WikiLeaks released stolen, embarrassing emails from the campaign of Trump's opponent, Hillary Clinton. Meanwhile, Assange was hauled out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he hid for more than 6.5 years. Embattled Prime Minister Theresa May had this to say.
I would like to thank the Metropolitan Police for carrying out their duties with great professionalism and to welcome the cooperation of the Ecuadorian government in bringing this matter to a resolution. Mr. Speaker, this goes to show that in the United Kingdom, no one is above the law.
He was reportedly charged by the United States under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act with aiding Chelsea Manning break a password used to extract thousands of pages of classified documents from a Pentagon computer. An independent UN human rights expert says Julian Assange's arrest won't deter his efforts to determine if the privacy rights of the WikiLeaks founder were violated. UN Special Rapporteur Joe Canatacci had planned to travel to London on April 25th to meet with Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy, where Assange sought asylum in 2012 to avoid extradition to Sweden. Canatacci says he still plans to keep the meeting despite Assange's arrest at the embassy on Thursday. The UN official said in a statement, I will visit him and speak to him in a police station or elsewhere in the UK. The UN Human Rights Office plans to ask the British government to give him access to Assange on April 25th. Canatacci added, if Assange is extradited to the United States by then, I will direct my request for access to the government of the United States. And in a statement that just came out from the Chelsea Manning support team regarding the Assange incident, the following. Today, Chelsea Manning's legal team will file a reply brief in their appeal asking the Fourth Circuit Court to vacate District Judge Hilton's March 8th finding of civil contempt. Ms. Manning, a staunch advocate for government transparency, asserted legal grounds for her refusal to participate in what she views as an assault on the free press. She remains in detention as a result of the contempt finding. The Assange indictment disclosed this morning strengthens their claims of grand jury abuse, and that's according to Manning's attorneys. Quote, the indictment against Julian Assange unsealed today was obtained a year to the day before Chelsea appeared before the grand jury and refused to give testimony. The fact that this indictment has existed for over a year underscores what Chelsea's legal team and Chelsea herself have been saying since she was first issued a subpoena to appear in front of a federal grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia. That compelling Chelsea to testify would have been a duplicative of evidence already in the possession of the grand jury and was not needed in order for U.S. attorneys to obtain an indictment of Mr. Assange. The indictment accuses Assange of assisting Manning, a former U.S. intelligence analyst, in cracking a password that helped Manning infiltrate Pentagon computers. Del Cameron is a reporter for the news site Gizmodo. He's been following Chelsea Manning's case. Manning is currently held in Washington, D.C. for refusing to answer questions before a grand jury. Cameron says the initial charges are relatively minor, but more could be coming, but he doesn't expect Assange to be charged with espionage.
So, I mean, he's been charged with a conspiracy to commit a computer intrusion, which is a charge that I think a lot of people unfamiliar with how WikiLeaks tends to communicate with its sources probably didn't see coming. So there's been a lot of chatter about Assange being possibly charged with espionage, but that would have been incredibly difficult for the Justice Department to prove in court. For instance, espionage would require prosecutors to convince a jury that Assange had what the law calls specific intent, as opposed to inferred intent, to do actual harm to the United States, meaning that he wasn't publishing all of this classified material for journalistic purposes, as he claims, but his ultimate goal was to hurt the country. And that's just extremely difficult to prove in court. So the computer crime charge is something that I guess like allows prosecutors to also bypass this whole argument over whether Assange is or isn't a publisher or a journalist. There's not a lot of case law around the Espionage Act. While the Supreme Court has upheld that reporters are allowed to publish illegally obtained information, there's some argument between legal experts whether or not that includes whether that protection extends to reporters who reveal national secrets. So I think that the hacking charges are going to be a lot easier for them to prove. And so that where Chelsea Manning comes in is that she's basically the culprit in this case, right? He's being charged with conspiracy to help her commit a crime. And he may have done that, as DOJ is alleging, by helping Manning crack a password that she needed in order to access a database that the DOD uses to store battlefield reports and other material classified up to secret. He may have also urged her to get him more information, which is another way of saying that he asked her to commit a crime. When Chelsea Manning fed WikiLeaks something like 725,000 classified documents, these were battlefield reports, there were 5 Guantanamo Bay detainee profiles, just tons of State Department cables. Manning was only charged eventually or ultimately with a couple hundred documents, and a few dozen of those cables have now been declassified. So there was also a damage assessment prepared by the Defense Intelligence Agency following the WikiLeaks release that basically concluded all this information being out in public represented a very low, maybe moderate risk to national security. A lot of it was dated. A lot of it was low-level stuff already publicly known just through other types of disclosures. As far as the charges that we know about now, they don't have anything to do with the 2016 election. It's entirely possible that somewhere down the road, other charges will be brought against him. But, that would also require like a whole nother set of evidence. So the evidence that the Justice Department is working off of right now, it's all related to this 2010 leak of just a huge amount of what WikiLeaks calls the Iraq war logs and the Afghan war logs. Chelsea Manning was convicted, sentenced to prison for 35 years in a court-martial in 2013. All of this evidence that's related to these charges, all of that was already presented in court in her court-martial. So I think double jeopardy would apply here. And I'm not a lawyer, but that seems to be the assessment of any legal experts I've already spoken with. Manning is being held in jail in Virginia right now for contempt of court. She got a subpoena, was asked to come in and testify before a federal grand jury in Virginia, and showed up but refused to answer any questions. She said essentially that she was doing that on principle. She thinks that it's a secretive process, that it's been used to go after activists in the past, and she didn't want to answer any questions. So they put her in jail. But what we learned today from the indictment is that they indicted Assange over a year ago. So they had enough evidence a year ago to pursue these charges. Now, what they're probably trying to do is corroborate them, get Manning to come in and testify and tell them what she knows about Assange. But on the flip side, Manning has already admitted to all of these crimes, including this conversation that she had with Assange, where he supposedly asked her to get him more classified information and offer to crack a password for her to help her do that. I don't think that Manning is going to have anything substantial to say. There's obviously also no way that she can prove Julian Assange was the person she was communicating with. These conversations between Manning and Assange took place over a computer. They were using pseudonyms. And so it's actually kind of curious. I'm curious how the prosecutors are going to prove it was actually Assange on the other side of the computer. I think that the UK also has something to lose here. If they put Assange on a plane and ship him over here and he ends up being found not guilty, I think that would likewise be pretty bad for the UK government. I think they're going to treat it pretty cautiously, and there may be some bargaining behind closed doors I don't know about, but they'll have skin to lose in this game. Before 2016, Julian Assange was kind of a darling of the left, transparency advocate. He appeared to be anti-war. And then in 2016, he on face helped Donald Trump get elected. There was some communications back and forth between WikiLeaks and some members of the Trump family. I think there was a communication between WikiLeaks and Donald Trump Jr., where they had suggested Assange be made an ambassador to Australia. I don't know what that was about or if it was a joke, but obviously that was never going to happen. Now, WikiLeaks is kind of a hero of the right. He exposed, from their perspective, a lot of like corruption that was going on behind the scenes in the Democratic primaries. Any Clinton supporters aren't fans of Assange. His role and who on the different sides of the political spectrum support him, that's kind of shifted quite a bit in the last few years.
Del Cameron is a reporter for the news site Gizmodo. He's been following Chelsea Manning's case. Ecuador's government says that as part of its decision to expel Julian Assange from its embassy in London, it has withdrawn the Ecuadorian citizenship he was granted last year in a failed attempt to end the activist's tumultuous stay at its diplomatic mission. Ecuador also accused supporters of WikiLeaks and two Russian hackers of attempting to destabilize their country. Interior Minister Maria Paula Romo said in Quito, a close collaborator of WikiLeaks had traveled with former Foreign Minister Ricardo Patino this year to several countries, including Peru, Spain, and Venezuela, in an attempt to undermine the government. She did not identify the individual, but said their name, as well as two Russian hackers working in Ecuador, would be turned over to judicial authorities in coming hours. Meanwhile, Edward Snowden, the former security contractor who leaked classified information about U.S. surveillance programs, says the arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is a blow to media freedom. Images of Ecuador's ambassador inviting the U.K.'s secret police into the embassy to drag a publisher of Like It or Not, award-winning journalism out of the building are going to end up in the history books, Snowden said in a tweet. Assange's critics may cheer, but this is a dark moment for press freedom. Snowden was charged by the United States in 2013 of violating the country's Espionage Act. He was granted asylum by Russia that year, and the asylum has been extended until at least 2020. The executive director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation is Cindy Cohen. She says the law used to charge Assange can be used to prosecute journalists for their reporting work.
The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act is a very broad law that has been misused by prosecutors in the past, and we're quite concerned that what is being trumped up in this indictment as a pretty major thing seems to be a pretty minor thing. Basically, it says that Julian Assange attempted to help Chelsea Manning figure out a password. And it's not at all clear what Julian Assange did, and it's you know, whether that rises to the level of something that should be seriously considered a hacking offense, I think is very much in question from this indictment. But the indictment sure tries to make a lot of technical things seem really scary. You know, it talks about using cloud storage as part of the problem. It talks about using Jabber, which is a chat program. It talks about Julian Assange redacting the name of the source as part of the conspiracy. These are all things that journalists do every day. I suspect you have redacted the name of a source, asked for more information from a source, and maybe even used cloud computing to try to get information out of your source. I'm quite concerned that the actual activities here, which appear to be at most in an attempted hacking, are pretty thin. Pretty thin read to base an indictment with such serious consequences.
Well, you mentioned journalists who often use the same tactics and techniques as being mentioned in this allegation, this indictment. Does this have a chilling effect?
Well, I think this is part and parcel of a 10-year strategy by first the Obama administration and now the Trump administration to basically criminalize a lot of things that are ordinary reporting in the context of revealing information that the government doesn't want revealed. I really worry that people are going to stop with the fact that this is Julian Assange and not see what is really going on here. But what he is being challenged for is part of the reporting process that is fairly ordinary in most respects. With respect to helping the access to the password, I have to say the indictment is so thin, it's really hard to tell what exactly he did. But the indictment really seems to indicate that, you know, telling someone to use a Linux computer system is somehow nefarious. And of course, you know, millions of people around the world use the Linux operating system, and it's not nefarious at all. So again, I worry that it's not just a chilling effect that they're trying to create, but this is actually part of an ongoing effort to try to create criminal liability for revealing things that the government doesn't want revealed.
Whistleblowers have a hard time as it is getting the information out to a reporter without bringing down, being fired, or some other terrible thing happening to them, and, you know, even in private industry as well as the government. Would this chill a whistleblower, make it more difficult if crimes like this are prosecuted? Will that make it more difficult for a whistleblower to be able to get their information out?
Absolutely. I think it's a very, it's already, as you pointed out, it's already a very dangerous world for whistleblowers. And if this indictment goes through, it not only creates worries for the whistleblower, but it creates worries for the journalist. Under the Supreme Court precedent, Barnicki versus Vop, publishing material that's in the public interest is legal and protected by the First Amendment, even if the law was broken in receiving that information. Here, the government is trying to push that line even further to say that if the journalist has any, even the most minuscule role here, the attempt to help somebody with a password, that's illegal too. And again, I don't think that this is happening in isolation. It's part of an ongoing effort that goes back at least 10 years to try to criminalize bringing information to light that powerful governments don't want to see brought forward. Remember, the underlying thing, this indictment is about very early efforts by WikiLeaks, long before the 2016 election, when what WikiLeaks revealed was evidence of a war crime by the U.S. government.
Would somebody, is that saying conspiracy would be, why don't you check their mom's maiden name?
I don't know. It's hard to tell from this what they think Assange actually did that constitutes conspiracy to help with the password. And I think that if they had something that was really juicy that he did, that was really, you know, kind of looked a lot more like hacking, they would put it in the indictment. But we'll see. We'll see. This might not be, my understanding is that within 65 days, the government can add new charges to this for purposes of the extradition. And then after that 65 days, they cannot any longer. So we'll see what happens in terms of maybe adding additional facts or claims in this time frame.
Right. This could be just something to, from the legal perspective, just to hold him until they can figure out what they got on him.
They know what they got on him. They've had the same thing for 9 years. I actually think that it may be more about trying to convince both the British authorities and the Ecuadorian authorities that this isn't going after the press, for purposes of getting the arrest to happen, but then their strategy might change about what they're willing to talk about once that happens. But there's nothing in this indictment that hasn't been known by the U.S. government for at least 9 years.
What's the environment that we're in as far as the law that you mentioned? Has there been lots of prosecutions under it? Is there like a epidemic out there of people hacking into other people's computers to get their, you know, baby pictures and things like that?
This law is written so broadly that it really puts too much power in the hands of prosecutors to go after people for what I think most of us would agree is kind of ordinary computer behavior. The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act makes it illegal to use your dad's password to get in to watch HBO. It makes it illegal to do all sorts of things that I think most of us do all the time. And it has very draconian penalties. The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act was a piece of what happened to our friend Aaron Schwartz, who ultimately killed himself rather than face this draconian law. So there's a centerpiece of hacking that ought to be illegal, but sadly this law was written in the 80s and it hasn't been updated to really reflect modern times, and as a result is really dangerous in the hands of a prosecutor. And I think that this indictment certainly doesn't give me great comfort that what's being indicted for here is actually what most of us would think of as, you know, kind of hardcore hacking. Journalists around the world need to pay close attention to what's going on here and not stop at the fact that it's Assange, but really look at what is he being prosecuted for and how closely that comes to what they do every day or need to do in order to do their jobs well, because this is part of a pattern of attacks on journalists. The other piece of it that we haven't talked about is the fact that WikiLeaks is not an American organization. It's a foreign organization. Julian Assange is not a U.S. citizen. And if the U.S. government can demand that a third party turn over a foreign journalist in this kind of process, you know, that they're not going to be the only government that does. And so a journalist who, say, maybe reveals something that the Brazilian government doesn't like may find themselves picked up by a third party and extradited if this becomes, you know, the legitimated here. So it's not just about the U.S. government, and it's not just about reporting on the U.S., which would be serious enough. I think this tactic raises serious concerns for anybody who's engaged in the kind of journalism that might upset any government in the world.
Cindy Cohen is executive director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And that's some of the news for Thursday, April 11th, 2019. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is James Irsay. For the WBAI Evening News, I'm Paul DiRienzo. Thanks for joining us.
Coming up at 6:30, we have Justice Matters with Bob Ganji.
Purple gang, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock.
On Monday, April 15th, from 2 to 4 p.m. and from 7 to 9 p.m., the nation's top seven young jazz pianists are in New York for the American Jazz Pianist Competition, and WBAI will broadcast it live. If you'd like to attend, we have 30 tickets to the afternoon solo piano performance and another 30 for the evening jazz trio competition. That's the American Jazz Pianist Competition at Yamaha Artist Center in Manhattan,